Okay.
It always makes you cry.
He made my punch list.
And that was our first fight. Time is a flat circle.
Like, two people are gonna get this.
Ooh. Love, Kale.
Ew. I want him to crawl to me.
Now that was spicy.
Your Honor, I love him.
Gross! Why choose means you don't choose.
I want a third act breakup because I want him to grovel.
There are exceptions to every rule.
Trust me, I'm a father. Don't worry, Daddy's got you. Welcome to Chapter 6 of the Smut Daddy Podcast. I'm your host, the Smut Daddy, a.k.a. Father Lib.
Hey guys, and I'm Sister Britt, your co-host, and we are just two besties that met on Instagram and talk every day now.
Woo! And today we are joined with our Lord and Savior and Smut, the author that made me small town permanent resident in the romance land. I live there now, folks. And the author who I literally shoved down everyone's throat, Lena Hendricks. Hi.
Hi. That's quite an intro. It's a tough thing to live up to, but I
that's
appreciate
two
it. Thanks
now.
For having
and now
me.
I think I have something going on in my brain where authors tell me I give them good intros because I'm a praise girl. So
yeah.
The hype continues.
Yes, Daddy.
Yes. Now that's for sure got to get clipped. That's the best thing I've ever heard. How are you? How's life going? How you been doing? Happy release day to you.
Yes!
To Royal. This
to
is coming out
Royal.
On release day. So we're really happy
I'm
that you're going to talk to us.
Yeah, I'm thrilled. It's really funny because we're like future casting a little bit, right? So we're recording a little bit before release, but I'm manifesting that this release is going to fucking kill it. So
it is.
Kill it. It is
absolutely
kill
it.
Numbers. Yes.
I mean, everyone has been ready for Royal, I feel like. I feel like he's been a big draw.
Since he was brought up for that tattoo.
There is a little pressure in that, though, right?
It's true.
So I've been nervous because everybody, several books ago, when I was even in the Sullivan series,
one chance.
Everybody, when will Royal get a book? When will Royal get a book? And, you know, I was nervous, but I always knew what I wanted to do with him, and I had such a fun time writing his book. I love his FMC, Veda. She is probably one of my
favorites. Oh, I was
going
to ask you how to pronounce her name, so I'm glad you said it.
So she's Veda. She's a big time black cat and he's such a golden retriever. It's just a yummy dynamic. I love it.
Oh my gosh. I can't even tell you how excited I am. We are going to talk a lot about them later, and that will be our full spoiler time warning a little bit. We knew going in that we were getting our arcs the same day, so we're okay with some spoilers because we want to talk
Beautiful.
To you. So whatever you say, we are okay with. We're still reading and we're still gonna love it because we're
okay,
ready.
Let's do it.
But we do want to ask because we know you're very busy. Obviously, you're always writing and you are a mom and a wife and you have your own hobbies and things, but are you reading anything right now? Have you been reading anything?
That's actually very sad because this year particularly, I haven't read as much as I normally do, partly because I'm doing a lot of reader events this year. And so that takes away a little bit from writing time, which then it kind of trickles down into taking away from personal reading time. I have had my very good friend, Catherine Cowles, hounding me to read, I think it's a Maya Banks book. It's called Never Seduce a Scot. It's like a historical smutty romance. So that is
right up my alley. I'm going to look that up.
Queen over here.
Yes, I love them.
We can buddy read that one because she's been like on my case to read it. And I do tend to read outside of the small town romance genre just because I'm like writing it all day. Sometimes
do
I want something a little different.
Do you stay in romance land though? Or are you going to thriller and everywhere else?
I usually primarily stay in romance.
Me too.
Have a very good friend who is writing her debut novel, and it's like a women's fiction thriller. And so she's been sending me chapters, and I've been giving her like some feedback, and that's been really fun actually. But normally, I always go to romance. Even when I'm reading her chapters, I'm like, they could totally have sex.
You were like, did you know they could kiss right here?
Yeah, and she's like, no.
But they could.
So, you're like, I've actually plotted a whole sub-love plot for your book.
I'm like, happy to write the sex scenes for you. Totally.
That is so awesome. I know you haven't read that much, but if you had to pick one book off the top of your head, like really just randomly, like what is one of the top reads you think you have had this year Is there something on our radar we need to all be reading?
Well, I'm sure it's a book everyone's already read, but Elsie Silver's Wild Eyes, I loved that one.
That's the first or second?
The second one. I mean, they're all amazing, but yeah, this year I read the second one. And
you really liked that one?
Good. It was so good. I'm literally frothing at the mouth for like the third one. And I know she's like just like wrapped writing it. Yeah. And I was like, so how much do you love me and how early can I read it?
You were like, I thought us authors had a bond where we shared things early.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like, awesome.
Prove your friendship. Yeah.
Right.
Send me that Google Doc.
Because you guys have met up and stuff to do some like writing events and stuff like that, but also just like to go to like a retreat and write and hang out because you guys are friends in real life too as well.
Yeah, she is a lovely person. We talk almost every day, like in a small like group chat. Some of us, sometimes the stars align and like her and a couple of other friends and I, we will be writing at the same time. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it doesn't happen. Somebody's editing while another person's drafting. But when the stars align, it's magical because we'll do what's called writing sprints and you set a timer and you just go and you write for like 30 to 45 minutes. And then when it's over, you sort of report back
how many words you've gotten in.
And it just really keeps you motivated. And it also is like a little competition where you're like,
but I feel like that's what makes it fun on both ends. Like who's going to get the most words or who's going to get like to their point the fastest. But also I love praise and hype. So if someone was constantly hyping me up every 30 minutes, I would definitely be succeeding.
Well, and the other thing about it too, that was an adjustment for me because writing is a second career for me, is that you're just alone when you write. You know, I had a job outside the home and I was constantly surrounded by people. And so this is a nice little segue into just having that connection with people and people who get it and who understand and know what you're going through when your like scene isn't working the way you want it to. And so it's really nice to have that connection and to not feel quite so lonesome sometimes.
Absolutely. That's actually a really good segue to just kind of go into like your beginning of just like what did you start reading and what, if you don't mind, what was your first job?
God,
like, are you taking over your full-time writer now? Like, how did the stars all align for how you became romance reader to full-time romance author? That's so amazing, by the way. Like, a huge congratulations. No, seriously. That is awesome. Like, a dream. Seriously.
Honestly, I have read romance. I've been a reader my whole life. I mean, I devoured books. It started with, like, the American Girl doll series books, like the little books.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Addie was my favorite American girl. I loved her.
Samantha was my girl.
I'm like, I was afraid of dolls from a young age.
I was always reading, and then it transitioned into, like, as I got older, more romance. And then I went to school and I became a teacher. I was a special ed teacher for a while, and then became an assistant director of special ed. So I kind of went to the admin side. And I had been reading a lot of romance. When my firstborn was still an infant, I went to the library, was sort of pushing him in a stroller, grabbed a random book off the romance shelf, and I opened it, and I happened to open to like a dirty open door scene. And I was floored because I grew up on Nora Roberts, which is very fade to black.
Yeah,
that's what my mom read growing up.
They kiss, and then, you know, the next morning they're just like exhausted, right? And I remembered standing in this library with like my 2-month-old son being like, this is in books now? This is amazing.
And this is what we're doing? Okay.
I was like, I am here for this. And so I just started reading a whole lot more and it never really stopped. And then honestly, the whole writing career, I'm so lucky because it really did start on a whim. I was having a glass of wine with my husband and I had been looking for a specific kind of book and I couldn't find it. I'm sure it exists somewhere out there because I feel like every book of every trope combination actually already exists, but I couldn't find it. And so I turned to my husband and I said, I think I'm going to write a book. And he was like, can you do that? And I'm like, I don't know. I said, but I feel like I probably can.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try, but I'm not telling anybody because if I really suck at this, nobody has to know.
It's just you.
And I'm just going to write a book. I'm just going to write the book that I'm looking for, that I want to read. And he was like, yeah, cool, great, go for it. And so it took me about 6 months to write that book. I write a lot faster now, which is very helpful. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, it took about 6 months. I wrote that book. I learned how to self-publish along the way.
Yes.
I was so inspired by people like Melanie Harlow and Corinne Michaels, who like were already these badass women self-publishing. It was amazing. And I learned everything I could about like how to put your book up on Amazon and do I want to be in KU or go wide. And I was just devouring information and moonlighting as an author. And then I guess fast forward to like maybe a year or so later, things really started to pick up and we're doing really well. And I had to finally start telling people. I got asked to do like an Amazon interview. And for whatever reason in my mind, that felt huge. Literally nobody, it never saw the light of day. It like never, and but all I kept thinking was my dad is going to see this like Amazon Prime interview and he's going to have questions. So I was like, maybe I should tell people. So finally more than just Jake knew. And so I told people, everybody was super supportive. And then maybe another year after that, my writing was outpacing my like full-time income.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting back and thinking like, man, like I could do it. Like I could stay home and I could write full time. And so Jake and I talked and I took a leap of faith and it's been smooth sailing ever since. And it's been amazing. I mean, granted, when I thought I was going to leave and write full time, I was like, I'll double my word count. Yeah, that's not actually happened.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
You know, but I have no regrets. It's been amazing. I love what I do. I love the freedom that this job gives me. I love the people that I've met. The readers are amazing. You all are amazing. I mean, it's just, I'm fulfilled in ways that are beyond my wildest dreams. I'm so
grateful. So with that first book, what is that?
So finding that first
you,
book
or is that
is
not
finding
existing
you
anymore? I was like, no, sometimes they take them away and they're like, yeah, that doesn't exist.
What's funny about that is, so Finding You is my debut novel. And so it's a former, he's like a military hero. He's tattooed, but he's scarred. He's had an accident, right? And he is searching for this woman who wrote him letters while he was deployed, and he can't find her, right? He gives up hope that he's ever going to find her. And
it's
then
so good.
She shows up, and it turns out that it's his little brother's best friend. And so it's sort of that play on like best friend's brother. And well, in this case, it's like brother's best friend.
Back to best. We've learned
I
over
love
these.
That,
yes.
Well,
I
we've
love
learned
all for
just.
It.
From the podcast that every book I was recommending, I was saying, oh, it's also brother's best friend. And I was like, okay, wait, I think that might be a favorite trope actually of mine. So
but see, I'm a little sister. So I grew up like fully hoping that my older brother's friends would just like fall madly in love with me.
Me too.
And it never happens.
And then my oldest brother is gay.
I love to read it.
And he's a twin to my sister who her type was never my type, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you're like, come on, man.
So my dreams were crushed rather quickly.
I mean, same.
I latched on to other people's.
Yeah, my very awkward preteen and teenage years really put a kibosh on that for sure.
Right.
But no, I started writing it. I still love that story, but it does make me laugh because obviously for any writer, you know, and this is the reason sometimes authors will pull their debut novel or their debut series. It's like, it's just not always your best writing. I mean, you learn so much as you go about
which makes
sort of
sense.
You story pieces together.
Learning, get
obviously,
better.
Yeah, you always want to grow, right? But TikTok loves that fucking book, and it will go viral on TikTok. And I'm always like, oh, like pick a different
why
one.
Why this
like, that
one?
One's great. That one's great. But the most recent one is so much better.
Yeah.
But
so
you know,
I will
love
say
Lincoln
though.
And Joe. They love
I was
them.
Gonna say, I will say that I read this after, like just recently, like I got all the way through almost with even one taste. And then I think Whip came out and I was like, I'm ready to devour everything else. I loved it. I really,
I really
mean it. I do obviously love you, but I was like, not in a mean way, obviously, but I was expecting like, this is clearly a debut work.
Right.
Like you can't judge this off of the Lena that you know right now and who just wrote William King. That's not the same. It's not the same. Even, and that's okay. And I was never taken out of it. I never was stopping and thinking like, what the heck is this? This is great. And honestly, this might be the first series that the first books, like besides Brutal Prince by Sophie Lark, stayed my first, like my favorite.
Ooh.
I love Lincoln. I do.
I do too.
I love him. He's so wonderful. And I never really gravitated, honestly, towards military men just because I grew up a military brat. So I just kind of deviated to something else. I loved him. Incredible. And Joe, I want to go fishing with her. Are you
that.
Joe?
So, Joe is 100% me.
Like, okay, I'm like, are you Joe? Okay.
Out of my life,
I could totally 100% tell while reading it. Just everything about her. It's, well, and then you get to her description, and I'm like,
You're like, wait a minute.
I'm like, have you guys seen my Lord and Savior, who's beautiful, who should just be the cover model for it? Yeah.
Honestly, tell me about that. Everything I wanted in a hero, I was like, well, we're just going to go balls out and Lincoln's going to have it, right?
Yes.
Like, he's going to be a little damaged. He's going to be grumpy. He's going to be tattooed. He's going to have scars.
Like, oh my God.
And I'm like, he's going to fall for the girl who likes to be cute and look girly, but who is deep down, like, always just been a tomboy.
100%.
And that was me growing up. It's still me. I love to go fishing and hiking and, you know, but I also like to curl my hair and put makeup on. So
yeah, I got a cosmetology license, but I grew up in a small town in Ohio where you went mudding and four-wheeling and you're getting down and dirty and you have to know how to fish because, like, what else are you going to do when you have to drive a half hour to go do anything fun? So I think while reading her, it was very nostalgic in ways because she would walk everywhere. And I know that's such a small thing, but, like, we would walk everywhere in our town growing up. And I know she was doing it to clear her head, but it was just so comforting a lot of the time. And then when she would stumble upon the house, I was just like, everything's right. This is such a great book.
And who doesn't love a woman just kicking ass in, like, a male-dominated field?
I love when she, like, she takes nothing. Awesome. She'll look at those other fishermen and be like, are you mad that they want my tour, not your tour.
No apologies. She does not care.
Were you writing this as a standalone, or did you know immediately you were going to have keeping, protecting, choose? Like, did you know these things were going to happen, or did it take starting this to be like, hey, there's a community here?
No. So, like, when I do a thing, I do it, and I go all in.
Do it well.
So I knew. I planned that. I was like, okay, if we're going to see if this business is a thing, if I could actually, you know, do this, I need a series. But I only planned 3 full-length novels because I was like, okay, well, if it's not great, I can pivot and do something else.
Yeah.
But I had seen those authors I was watching, and I'd seen, like, okay, they do interconnected standalones. They do friend groups or brothers or sisters or something. There's a set of books, and it's all in a town, and they, you know, can kind of pop up in other books, but you could read each on its own. And so I had planned to do that. So when I wrote Finding You, I knew that there were going to be 2 other books. The novella I ended up writing sort of afterward because I wanted to keep that sort of as like a permanent freebie, because you can actually get that one on my website, like, free.
Oh,
nice.
So, but I loved Old Man Bailey, and I was like, oh, he deserves a happy ever after.
When I got to it and it was Old Man Bailey, I was like, honestly, it was so good because you don't always get the older guys that you're
seeing. Sage, grumpy grandpa.
I was just like, this is amazing. I love to see how their love also kept going, or how it led to them as we see them now. And so when we got to Old Man Bailey, I was like, you've done it. Here I am crying at choosing you because you've nailed it.
Yeah, that was a really fun series. And yeah, so when I planned it to be 3 books, I was sad. I was sad to leave that town. But, you know, there's always
would
new towns and new people.
I mean, I know we're making the best of the best, but would you say were you trying to make Lincoln and your mold? And you were like, well, my husband, did you ever have to pull anything in, you know, since he was your first? Or were you able to, like, truly kind of create and make your own Ken doll?
Yeah, I mean, mostly I just, like, Frankenstein my own Ken doll. But
that's
say,
love
there
it.
Is every hero in every book I've written have pieces of my husband. Like, it could be as simple as, like, some weird thing that he does.
Yeah.
Like, or I'm like, why did you open the jar like that? Like, you know, it can be something weird, or it can be like something that he says, or something like a way that he moves and does something. And I'm like, oh, like tucking that away. He finds his way in nearly every novel.
But I really do.
Lincoln
love that.
Is mostly like.
Does your husband read
Kendo.
Your novels?
Yeah.
No, he's never read them. Mm-hmm. And I'm
is
totally
that
fine
your
with that.
Choice or his choice?
No, I mean, he's not. A reader like I have always been. He does do audiobooks sometimes, but he likes different kinds of stories than I write. And so it's never been an issue. He's like seriously a huge supporter and like number one fan, but like totally clueless when it comes to like what's
does
in
he
the books
still
and
get
sometimes
giddy?
It
oh,
will
go ahead.
Oh yeah, he celebrates, he helps celebrate and is a champion.
Well,
like, he's
do
so
you
sweet.
Ever
this
tell him like what a guy
this,
so
got this.
Oh look at that. Jake,
for
you deserve all the flowers.
Yeah. For those listening, I opened my laptop to record the podcast, and he had a post-it that said, you got this. I love you, babe.
That's
and so,
just the cutest.
very sweet. Yeah. So
does he ever get giddy when you're like, hey, do you ever talk to him, I guess? Like, would, is it, should it be this or this? Or does a guy do this? Like, does that make him blush?
No, not really. But I'll get back to the blushing part, but no, not really. With Jake, I've learned to really not ask him anymore because he doesn't read romance. And so, like, usually his suggestions are somebody cheats or somebody gets murdered. And I was like,
murdered. Those are like the two worst options you could have.
And then Catherine Cowles is going on. And
oh, she would love it. Yeah, no, it was so funny because I'm like, yeah, I can't kill them.
You're like, we're helpful. Pretty happy in Sullivan Land, yeah. Actually.
And he's like, it would be a plot twist, though. Like, oh my God, you are no help. No, but coming back to the blushing thing. So my editor, who has been with me since Protecting You, is a man. And I love him. I am obsessed with my editor, and I hope to never leave him, or he never leaves me. But there have been a couple of times where I have blushed, because in the notes, I mean, and he reads and edits, like, everything, including all the spicy scenes, and there have been a couple of times where he'll be like, I'm not really sure that is physically possible. So, like, he'll have to write back and be like, it is. Or he'll write and be like, anatomically, for a man, that's not really how it is, you know, and he'll like, but he's trying to find a very, like, polite and professional way to say, like, my balls don't do that. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm dying. I'm like crawling
You're
under
like,
the table.
But in my world, your balls do that.
Yeah. I'm like, but they could.
But they could.
Is anyone really looking that deep at it, Mr.
Yeah.
Editor?
It's just funny. And he's the most amazing editor. There have been a couple of times where I'll, like, go to read through my edits and be like, oh, James.
You ever
has
send
to read
it
that?
And then you're like, oh yeah, I remember I wrote chapter 13. And you're like,
right, you're like, I apologize in advance for that. But no, he's great. He has never batted an eye at all of the weird shit that
I've
thrown
his way.
That's
so good, and I'm sure it is great to get a different perspective and take and stuff, like, since he is a guy. Like, I'm sure it is very helpful for you to make sure you're well-rounded in all of your books are. So
yeah,
it makes perfect
sense. And honestly, like, he, the tiny details that he catches, it's amazing.
And then makes your job probably a little easier, maybe more relief when you're like, oh, someone is on my team and helping me.
And that's the thing is, like, when you have a team that you trust, so, like, I have a developmental editor, I have James as my main editor, a proofreader, it's like, you know that everybody has your back and everybody wants you to put out the best book for the readers that you can. And I never really stress that much. Like, when ARCs go out, I'm excited. When
That's
release
really
days
good.
Here, I'm excited. I mean, obviously there's always did I hit the right notes and that kind of thing. But it's really, for the most part, I'm pretty confident that, like, okay, well, I gave the best book that I could possibly write. Like, you know, could somebody else have written a better book? Sure. But, you know, I think that for my characters that I know inside and out, like, there's been so many eyeballs on it that it feels really pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so great. And what a testament to you, too, because you've curated exactly what you need. And that's hard to do sometimes because you don't know where to pick people or how to fill the spot. So that's awesome.
Yeah, I feel good. We're in a good place right now. Like, Team Lena is really strong and thriving. And for me, it's like, I want it to feel like a family. I want it to feel like, you know, even having like a PA, right? Like an author's assistant. Yeah. I don't ever want it to be like, oh, I'm your boss, do X, Y, and Z. It's like, I like to check in with her, see how she's doing, like, ask about her family. To me, that relationship is more important than whether or not she remembered to post on a Wednesday. Like, I don't care.
Yeah, right. Yes. Big picture.
Which is so nice. Cause I mean, I know this is your job and your income, but, like, sometimes, you know, it's nice to see you're still human. Everyone is human.
Yeah,
and
I got
so it's so nice to just be like, we're all good. We're all chilling over here.
Right. I'm like, it's a book. It's not the end of the world.
Yes. So, I mean, I don't really know how to segue. I mean, it's fine, but did you start Redemption Ranch while you were doing, like, everything for series one, or did you have to get all the way through to then start your next journey?
No, I got you. For me, I am very, like, futuristic thinker, and from the time Finding You came out, I have released a book every 3 months, with the exception of one time I did 4 months so that audio could catch up. So I've never not, like, been writing the next book.
That's
like
insane.
So today,
insane.
Yeah, I just finished writing book 4 in the King series today, but book 3 hasn't come out yet. So, like, I'm always, like, trying to, you know, right ahead.
So you just typed the end on
today
MJ's story. Is it MJ?
Can we know an exclusive?
No, it's JP.
Wait.
Surprise!
Oh my gosh. You knew that. Oh, I had questions. You signed up and you knew. Yeah. So we will get there. Oh my gosh. My husband is like, "What, are you okay?" It's JP. JP is coming.
Oh my God, Lena.
We talk about JP a lot.
But I do have to say, you are a big reason why JP is even getting his story. Because
I'm really excited.
Here's the deal with him. When I first was writing The King Siblings, like, he was just going to be an asshole. Like,
that
he
is
never
not
was going to get
right.
a story. He, like, because some people are just jerks. They don't deserve a happy ending, right? And I was, like, in my mind, what? Crafting, like, he was just kind of like a secondary villain. And then you and other readers would make comments all the time. Like, I can't.
Constantly. Do you know how many times I've heard about JP, Lena? Oh, my God.
Like, people would be in the reader group being like, I just can't wait to see how he's redeemed. Or, I love a bad boy turned good. And I was like, oh, God, I have to write.
It's me. I'm like, do you want to see how many likes I can get on this comment in the Facebook group today?
But here's the deal. I didn't mentally commit to writing JP's story if I didn't have the perfect idea for him. Like, I right. came to peace with, I might have to disappoint some people, but if I don't find the right story, I'm not going to write it just to write it. And it came to me. And when it came to me, let me tell you, I wrote this book so fast. And I've been so excited. It's one of my favorite books I've ever written.
Oh, I'm my gosh.
Cry. I'm going
to I have chills
cry.
Over here. The good kind.
Because it's so
I know
fun.
I
can't
know,
wait.
I mean, I know I bullied you. And I do use that word.
Bit.
And I say it to everyone. I bullied an author into writing a character that I know will be one of her all times.
And I'm so
times.
Glad you did. I'm
Thank
so glad you.
You
did because I am obsessed
Thank
with him.
You.
I'm obsessed with the gal he's paired with. She knocks him on his behind.
Oh my God, I'm so yeah. excited. Okay, we are coming. We are coming okay. back to that because I'm really excited. I do just want to talk a little bit about this series. We don't have, just so we can get some hype on it because I am Cowboy Mafia. Hello.
Yeah, it was so fun.
I would really like to just kind of pick your brain just a little bit. We don't have to do as much of a deep dive you don't want, or we can, but that is such an amazing concept, like, to me, and then I love everything about it. I love from the model cover, everything. Mm-hmm. So you kept writing, and you were
hey,
I'm going to write The Badge and The Bad Boy also. Like, the first two
that
had
original
names.
The OG title was The Badge and The Bad Boy, and they all had, it was The Badge and The Bad Boy, The Alias and The Altar, The Rebel and The Rogue, The Target and The Truth. Those were
the
original
the
titles.
Okay.
Which that never actually came out. And then, so I had
At
seen...
At all with that title?
No.
Oh.
By book, I changed the titles before book three came out.
Oh, I've seen the first two, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So the first two were sort of out in the world, but I had seen this TikTok of this thirst trap back. Do you remember a few years ago when these guys would, like, wear one outfit and then all of a sudden it would change and, like, the red light was on and they're, like, half naked? And
yes. Yeah,
it was, like, a huge thing, right, a few years ago, right? There was this one guy, he kind of walks to his chair. And I wish I could remember his name, but no, I cannot. If I remember it, I will
add it in.
Send
and
it to you, and you can link it.
Yeah,
right,
I'll link it and add it in.
But he, like, walks in with these tight jeans looking like a snack and a cowboy hat. And he sits down in his chair, and then he spreads his legs. And as soon as he spreads his legs, it's like the red light. And he's wearing a black dress shirt and black dress pants. And he looks like a freaking mafia god. And I watched that video on loop like 1,000 times.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, how cool would it be to have somebody who was formerly mafia, but like, mm-hmm. I also want a cowboy because I think a cowboy's hot. Like, how can I make those two things mesh together? And I came up with this idea of former mafia men living on a remote ranch in Montana because they're in witness protection. So they're all morally gray, but like...
I love that.
You know.
So much.
Yeah. And so...
It's just like the best concept ever.
I had this whole
I don't mean
idea.
That lightly. How come no one has ever like tried? You would think more dark cowboys before now would have been around. Like,
yeah.
That's so good.
It was like pure genius. Like,
you're
Netflix was
going to
come knocking.
Yes.
And
Why
I was
hasn't
gonna,
they?
You know, because every season you can just have more residents moving on to the ranch. Like,
right.
It's a whole
and
con-
more people.
It's a whole
like,
thing.
You can have some girl, you know, the girls that all, there's always girls that need to go to witness protection on your ranch,
Obviously.
Sir.
Yeah, I mean, I will accept that phone call if they decide to still
call. Me too. Hulu, let's go. Gaslight, right? HBO.
Let's do it.
Oh my gosh, it'd be so good.
Yeah, something where they allow them to get naked though, because that is one thing I'm
looking at. You,
definitely
HBO.
Want it to still.
Yeah,
right? We tag HBO. Hello, we have a pitch idea for you.
Amazing.
It's just me and Brittany, like, so this is a really great book series that we really think you should. They're like, this girl is whacked out on
romance. I did have to pivot on the titles though, because
how come you made a change?
Well, it came because I had noticed that sales of my second series weren't as good as they were in the first series, and I was trying to figure out why. And so I was like perusing Goodreads, which I don't ever normally recommend.
Is that a normal thing that you do?
Never. I definitely think Goodreads is a reader space and not an author space. Yeah. But when you're trying to figure out like what is resonating and what is not, it's kind of a gold mine of information.
Right.
And somebody had posted a review of The Badge, and it was a good review. And there was a comment underneath it and had said, oh my God, I'm so glad that you reviewed this. I only read the title. I didn't read the blurb. And I assumed it was an MM romance. And I was like,
The Badge
is a female police officer.
Right.
And they were assuming The Badge was a male officer.
Was a male.
And The Bad Boy was his, like, partner.
Right.
And so people were passing it up because they thought I had moved on to, like, MM romance, which is, like, I don't mind MM romance at all. Like, I've read some really amazing ones, but I just don't write that, right?
Right.
And so I knew that there had to be a change because I wasn't drawing in the same readers that I wanted in terms of, like, loving small-town romance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did make a pivot. So it was, like, 2 weeks before book three came out. I changed all of the titles. I essentially chopped them in half because I could have made completely new titles, but I felt like that was going to be really confusing, especially mid-series change like that is huge. So I just chopped them in half, and they became The Badge, The Alias, The Rebel, and The Target.
And they're great. And I love the titles. There.
Yeah, I love it. I did like the long titles. Yeah. I thought they were cute, but to me, it was like, if somebody's going to pass up a book because they didn't read the blurb, then, you know, I've got to put like my best marketing foot forward. So I cut it.
Absolutely.
It's a bummer, but.
It makes sense though, because have you, like, when you did change them, did your sales start going up rapidly for one and two?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Which I know sucks for you, but maybe if any indie authors are listening, you know, it could be the smallest thing that helps someone.
I mean, honestly, and you can't be afraid to change. You can't be afraid to change your covers. I mean, there's been covers that, you know, if you love it, you love it, but like it might not be a right fit and you have to change it, or, you know, reworking your blurb. Titles are a hard one because like Amazon gets real weird about changing the title, but you know, anything you can do to get your books into the hands of readers, you've got to sort of swallow your own pride and be like, oh, but I liked it. Well, sometimes you have to say like, well, I liked it, but it didn't work, and that's okay.
Right. Or it didn't work for the majority. You might just be in the minority that time. Right.
Yeah, and I want readers to go into my books like having good expectations in terms of like they know what to expect from a Lena Hendricks book, and I don't want them surprised if they pick it up hoping it's an MM romance and then be bummed to find out like Vale's a girl, you know?
Right.
So I just want to sort of have those reader expectations met with the book that I can write.
Yeah.
So kind of talking about titles, like, do you have them all before you release book one? Like, or do you...
I do. Oh,
yeah. Because I was going to say, especially with like the Sullivans, like they all start with one, obviously. And so...
Yeah.
And
I will say titling is my least favorite thing to do. Oh. I hate trying to figure out titles, especially because I like them to sort of coordinate, right? Mm-hmm. So like obviously the first series is all the you books, right? Like Finding mm-hmm. You, Keeping You, and then the, right? The Badge, mm-hmm. The Rebel, you know. And then with the Sullivans, it was all one. And then in the Kings, it has the word just. So just. I like having like that pattern to show,
I do too.
Hey,
this series, these go together. Yep.
But when you have like a 4 or 5 book series, it gets really tricky to be like, does
there
that
are not
make
enough
sense?
Words.
Yeah.
Yeah. So not sometimes I might rearrange something. So like, I think I did end up swapping what I in my head originally thought was title 5 is now book 4. Like, it's just the title swap because it fit the story better. But I usually brainstorm all of the titles beforehand. Same with like model pictures for my covers. I have all of the models before I write.
And there's some great model covers.
Yeah. I really, really enjoy. Guy. Yeah, you are right up there with Sophie and all
that. It's funny, though, because it's getting harder now that I have more books out, because I've learned from myself, like, I personally have a type, because all of my picture, like, guy pictures, they're, like, slightly older, they're kind of scruffy, they've got kind of a grumpy look on their face, and I was like, oh, yeah, that tracks.
Yep, love them. You were like, love every single one of them.
Yep. I was like, so good. Maybe we should throw a guy with lighter hair in there, and then I'm like,
nah. No.
I don't think that will work, because they're brothers, you already started.
That's right, you know? Can't have the odd one out, so yeah.
Are you ever going to go back to Cowboy Land? Back to Cowboy Mafia Land? Will you just Mafia, maybe? I mean,
I'll never say never. I do love cowboys for sure. That would be probably more likely than straight Mafia. I feel like that would be like a hard right. Well, maybe not. But, you know, I enjoy reading Mafia books. I think there's something super hot about, like, a Mafia Don who's just so good. But I don't know. I don't see that in the future. It would be really hard for me to leave a small town. Like, if a Mafia guy stumbled his way into a small town, maybe.
I would read that, just so you know. I would.
Like, check.
I'm like, commence new bullying segment.
Yeah. Yeah, because I definitely, I mean, I write cozy romance, but there are some heavier themes. It's not super light and fluffy, but I think that would go a little darker than I enjoy writing. And so, you know, maybe if it was like a funny play on a mafia guy, I might do that.
That would be fun.
It's like a fish out of water.
Yes, that's kind of like a Melanie Moreland takes, like, she has one called My Favorite Boss, and it's a mafia man that falls, like, he just loves this baker's little cakes is what he calls them. And so he kidnaps her, and then she's like, what do you mean? And she's like, I like your baking. So, like, I kidnapped you.
So
and
you live with me now.
Yeah, and so she bakes for him, and he's really nice to her. It's romance, but
so
it's
so cute.
It's hot. It's, like, spicy and hot, but funny, because he's just like, he's like, it's an age gap. But I feel like you would enjoy something like that.
I would. That's fun.
Okay. The Sullivans. That's how I found you. Mm-hmm. I found you because I was one of the beta subscribers for the Probably Smut book club. And they were like, our first book is going to be One Look. And I was like, what's One Look? I was like, okay. Like I'm
literally
excited.
Never heard of her.
And I admit it, I had not. I was like, this sounds great. Because they started posting, like, you know, this is what the blurb is, and this is what this, and the edition. And I hooked right away. I was like, so are there more? And then there were. So I was like, okay, I'm diving in. I'm ready to go. So then that's how I was like, Brittany used to drop everything. I made her stop reading everything. And I was like, we're reading the Sullivan series right now. How did they come to be? I mean, I know you're always writing, but they're so, it's just so unique with the rival families. They're still all standalones, but now you have a second series that's a spinoff series, but it's within the same land, but they're still standalones. It's incredible planning and writing. I can't even believe it. It's so flawlessly done. So please, my notes app is
pure chaos.
I bet it is.
And I will say, I'm very lucky because, like I said, my editor, he's great. And I knew going into it, like, I wanted to do rival families in a small town. I just think that that's just so fun. And I liked the idea of, like, these grown men acting like idiots to each other. And sort of, like, pranking and being silly.
The pranks are hilarious.
Yeah, and I just, I really wanted to do that, but I was like, I knew. Strategically, I thought, okay, well, if this series does well, I could lean into a spinoff with the other family. That was always the hope, was that it was well-received enough and that I would be able to write the Kings. But then I was like, hey, you know, if it's not, I can always pivot and do something else. But yeah, I got really lucky. And Probably Smut, the book club book, that was just kind of divine timing. They popped into my inbox and were like, hey, we're going to be doing this book club. This is what it looks like. You know, essentially, like, we get your books along with these, like, annotation sheets and all this stuff into the hands of readers. How do you feel about that? And I was like, I feel great about
that. Wonderful.
And yeah, I was like, I'm a yes for that. And so we just kind of collabed on that, and it was so much fun, and we had a great time doing it, and they were lovely. I have always been lovely.
Yes.
And yeah,
I've never unsubscribed. I mean, I know it's not like a promotion for them, but I've loved it ever since. And then when we got to the end and you came back with them and did all of the special editions.
Yeah, so they came back and said, how would you feel about doing like a full set of alternate covers? And because my branding is like Hot Guys on Covers and then Discreets, I don't have cartoon covers. And sometimes I think they're so cute and adorable. And I loved the idea. I loved the idea that we could do it. And they were great. They like gave me like a choice of several artists and they were like, you know, which one do you think would fit your style? So I had some freedom in there to choose.
Like for our video watchers. Aren't they just the cutest?
Good. I'm so glad I got them before I had to cancel my subscription.
Like they're beautiful. And I love that the colors still tie in to like the original.
Yeah, I like that,
you know,
too.
Purples and blues and stuff. I like that a lot.
Yeah, and I think, honestly, those kinds of things, like book boxes or book clubs, like for any authors out there, you know, it's a great way to just bring more awareness to your books and your name. And, you know, to me, it was so much fun. We did, like, a little book club chat afterward. I love doing that.
Yes, it was so fun.
It's just really, really cool. And so, yeah, I would say that's, like, a great way to get to know new authors and read new books. And it's just been really good. I love it.
Did you know Wyatt was going to be your start right away with... He kind of, I mean, he seems obviously like the foundation, but did you know he was, or did you think because of the single dad, he was going to be later?
No, I actually wanted Kate to be first because Kate appears in the Target. She's Gemma's best friend who like moves back home. And originally she was going to be book one. And I loved the idea of like an ex-boyfriend's brother who's like a contractor, a builder, like HGTV just speaks to my soul.
Oh, yes.
So good.
But then as I was like...
I mean, I know it's not, but like, guys, look at this special edition she did. Isn't it beautiful?
Oh, I love a good female cover too. Like a good female, like hot female.
I don't have
photo
a lot of them.
Nice.
And then you did the crawl to me. Oh, yeah. You nail it every time.
So originally that idea was supposed to be book one. And then I was kind of like riffing and talking with friends about like books and marketing. And I had somebody I very much respect and trust be like, well, that can't be your book one. And I was like, what do you mean? And she was like, if you want your intro to a book, like to a book world, to be a universally loved trope, like a single dad, or like, you know, you want to get them, right?
Right.
Some people might say, oh, well, ex-boyfriend's brother, that's gross. Like you slept with both brothers. Like that's disgusting.
It's like taboo, I guess. I don't really consider it that, but I don't really read taboo, but
that's a trope I love. So
yeah,
I do too. And I started like mulling it over and I was like, yeah, I think we're going to have to open with a single dad. I mean, and that was super early in my planning process. Yeah. Like no words had been written for anything. So I shifted my mindset a little bit and then was like, okay, I'm going to do a single dad. And like, what can I do to like make it unique and make it my own and make it fun? And I had come across something about a professional mourner and I was like, well, that's an amazing job. So I'm like, what? There's so many things that could go wrong when you're doing that I'm
hilarious.
Like, this is just gold. And so I had such a ball writing that
Someone
one. It
was
really fun.
Someone was just asking me the other day they're like, wait, you'll see it in probably a week. They were like, what's the funniest, like three of the funniest books you ever read? And I had to pick Wyatt in front of my number two spot because I remember like hysterically laughing. Like, I was like, this is so funny. I'm not even sure I actually should be laughing this hard because it's still kind of like, hi, we're at a funeral. But I was like, these old women have lost their goddamn minds. Oh, and yeah. I was hooked. Immediately. There are some books where you love it and they're 5 stars, but you are like, let's jump over here and then we'll jump back. Oh, no, no, no. It's so good. It's so funny.
Thank you. I know for me, like when I'm writing, if I write a scene and I'm just like, like I know I have to go back and rework it. If I leave a scene being like, no, that was actually pretty funny, or like, ooh, that was hot, I like that. Like I have a pretty good like innate knowing of like, I could do better than that. And so I'll go back and rework it. When I wrote that scene, so originally the scene where she falls in and is like clawing her way out of the open grave, I was originally gonna be like, oh, it'd be super hot if he just like hauls her up. Like, you know, he's so strong. And I was like, no, it's gonna be funnier if he just stands there and like watches her struggle
be like,
and it's
this
just
grudge.
This mortifying moment, you know, and she's horribly embarrassed. I was like, no, that's better. And so I went back and I rewrote that scene to kind of add a different spin on it. But that's, to me, that's the fun part of writing. I love when, you know, those ideas are just kind of coming together and it all works out in the end.
That's great.
You're genuinely so funny. Like, laugh a lot. And I think a lot of Brit and I's, like, five stars and stuff is based off of, like, vibes. We had good vibes and laughed and stuff through it. And laughing. Like, I love to laugh. And laughing out loud is like, you have hit a five star. So when you're in chapter one, laughing out loud.
I find that very validating.
No, you should.
Yes.
He likes to tease me that I'm not very funny. And I was like, well, you're wrong because I'm hilarious and I'm a delight.
Exactly. And I feel like we have a lot of the same humor, which is why I'm crying laughing. And I'm like, hooked. No one bother me. This is everything. And
oh, thank you. I'm so glad that it hits the right notes because it's fun for me. I write it because I think it's fun. So there is always a lot of sort of me on the page because if I think it's fun or funny or silly, like that, it comes out in that way.
It was also such a good setup to show readers that you're going to continue to be funny. I think that sometimes you get a book that, you know, one book is more rom-com-esque. Not that this, you know what I mean?
Sure.
This is small town stuff, but rom-com elements. But to continue the whole time, I feel like I could be a little wrong in my brain because I was just so invested in Beckett and the HGTV that maybe I lost some of the romance, but not, I mean, the rom-com, but not anything from the story. But then to get to Lee and Annie and Dolls and the dates and Brittany was like, stop texting me that you're crying.
She was
laughing
giving
when
me,
I'm
like,
crying laughing.
The most play-by-plays during that book.
I couldn't help it. I was like, what's going on? I'm laughing. And then 10 minutes later, I'd be like, there's actually this letter. And it's her favorite day.
No.
But it, in the best way. Like, One Chance is probably my favorite out of the Sullivans. I hate to pick them. But he really is. I loved the angst and the conflict, but it wasn't what you think on both sides. And you have to see both sides to get the full story of them.
I was very nervous about that one. But Libby, she was reassuring me. She's like, you're going to be fine. She tries to tell him.
All good in the
end. Yes, she tries.
Then it's all good.
Like 800 times.
Right,
she tries
and I think there
him.
Are some times where we're reading it and they're not trying, but they're like, I am. No, Annette Kane was trying. And Lee, you better open your ears. I was like, what are you doing? But so good, so amazing.
So
sorry,
good.
We jumped all over the place, but I'm obsessed
no,
with
the
series.
No, it's all, I'm bestie.
Yeah,
but we would never skip over an accidental pregnancy in the Smut Daddy's world. You're joking. I get all my flowers because she hated them. And then I was like, you're not allowed to say anything until you read Daddy Duke Sullivan. And now she goes, okay, there are exceptions. You're damn right. There are exceptions.
So I was like, hey, do you have an accidental pregnancy recommendation? I said, I got one night, and if you need something else, you got to go to Libby. I have no more recommendations
so
for you. So sorry.
One taste. We'll talk about one night. Did you know that they were the bridge? Did you know from the start when you were planning them that you were like, Duke is the traitor, quote unquote? You know what I mean? Like,
No, I did know that. I knew Duke was going to be last. I knew he was going to knock up Sylvie. And what's funny is when I was writing that story, like, people would be like, ah, I can't wait for Duke and MJ to get together. And I'm like, you're going to be real disappointed.
Do you think they were saying that because of the one bakery moment?
Well, there was a couple of moments where I intentionally made
it
unclear who he was, like, sort of, like, annoyed at or frustrated at, where if you go back knowing now that he has been obsessed with Sylvie forever, if you go back, she is always in those scenes. And I did that intentionally, that like if you would go back, you would know he was actually really looking at her. He was talking about her. He was upset because she was there. Like she is there every single time. Somebody's like, oh, like who are you staring at? And he gets all pissy and grumpy about it.
Okay.
I wanted to do
looking
that.
Looking for that
like,
in my reread.
I got to do a reread now. Man.
It was mostly like a fun thing I was doing for myself. Was
no,
just
but
like,
it's fun for readers
like,
now when we get the little...
How long I can play it before people figure it out. But yeah, so I knew that Duke and Sylvie were going to be together. I knew that that was going to be my bridge to being able to write The Kings if it was well-received. And I knew... It's funny that you say like that one night is your accidental pregnancy wreck because I don't love that trope and I loved writing it.
Did
and I wrote
so
it in
well.
The way...
You too.
Well, because I wrote it, I think, as a person who doesn't like that trope that much.
This you makes more in a way sense now, Lena. Yes.
I wrote it so that, like, okay, well, what would I want to read? Or, like, because there's nothing more that makes me, like, completely crazy is when you're three quarters of the way in a romance book and all of a sudden she's like, I feel nauseous. My tummy hurts. And I'm like, you guys have been...
What the fuck is this?
You've been raw dogging it for 17 chapters. What did you think was going to happen? Like, to me, it just like makes me insane. And so I knew that I was going to have them, and I had a ton of fun writing that one. And I wanted it to be a book where, I mean, as loyal as he had always been to his family, there was no one else he was ever going to choose other than her. And I just thought it was just so romantic.
Oh my God, the beach scene is just... It was life-altering. It was so
beautiful.
There's
a piece of all of us left on that beach that day.
Which is so funny because, like, beach sex actually sucks.
Sucks. You're, like, getting sand in your cracks. It's really hot. Yeah. You're like, did you bring the towel or not?
Right. He had a paddleboard.
The paddleboard is everything. And I love that in the character.
Are we talking about different beach scenes?
Well, both. I was just talking about all together with the paddleboard.
What beach scene are you talking about, Britt?
I know, I'm like, did we lose her a little bit?
My connection just went out for a second. Sorry.
It'll be fine in post.
The beach scene where she's upset, she's heartbroken, and she runs to him.
Oh,
that's my beach scene.
She's going sweet. We're like, so when do you have sex on a beach, actually? You should bring a paddleboard.
That's not where I was going, but I love that that's where you two went.
You gave us spicy character art with the release of that. And then to see, though, like, the sweet version with the character cover, I really liked it. It was still fun to tie it all together.
I will say, though, Britt, that moment, I had that moment in my head for so long. I wanted her to panic when she knew she was pregnant and then to not be able to help herself and essentially out them in front of everyone, in front of the entire town.
It's
and then so his reaction to just be like,
I have you. It is. Everything's okay. Like,
it was the best thing I've read in a long time. It was great.
He was basically like a switch flipped and he was like, okay, we're doing this. Like, this is my life now. Like, let's go.
And this is it. Mm-hmm. Yes. It was perfect. Yes. Yeah. Pure perfection.
That scene in particular is one of my favorite scenes
of all time.
So I'm sorry I didn't think of it when we were talking about.
I'm sorry I didn't think about sex and smut and not someone falling and not, in love epically.
Here I am going for the like touching emotional moment, and you two, I'm like, the one like more smut. Where's the smut? Like, what's taking so long, guys?
Normally it's me over in the romance, the Notebook land, and now she's like, no, really, I'm really feeling it.
So you've got to have the balance between the sweet and the smut.
That's right.
So the charity novella. Did you know that was always going to be? It's so good. I hate to pick because they're both all your novellas are so good, but this one was so perfect.
So the funny thing about One Taste is that was actually the first thing I ever wrote in that series.
Really?
So yeah. So
a little origin story.
There was a charity novella opportunity for the Wild and Windy signing in Chicago. And they were like, let us know if you want to do it. And I was like, I could do that.
Something that's kind of like this, like they were putting something together that's sort of like this.
It was like an anthology.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like Bedtime Stories After Dark or something like that. And so you submit and then it's like however many authors said that they would do it. And, you know, readers get it signed at the signing.
Yeah.
And so I had been wrapping Redemption Ranch and I knew I was going to do the Sullivans. And I was like, okay, well, I could do something related to Redemption Ranch, or I could do sort of an intro to this new weird quirky town. And I just kind of like a burly baker and thought it would be really fun. And I wanted it to be sort of like an outsider's perspective between the rival family. So he's not part of either family, kind of the neutral party. So he could kind of give a little bit of that background information. And I wanted you to be able to read it anywhere in either the beginning or the end. And so, it's technically an origin story. It was written before anybody kind of came onto page for the rest of the series. But I didn't release it into KU until after it was like out of the anthology. And then once the series was over, because I didn't want to confuse people, like, why am I releasing? I mean, because if you get the print,
I have it. Yeah, it's just a teeny little thing.
It's itty bitty because it's only like 15,000 words or something mm-hmm. like that, where mine are usually between 80 and 90,000. So it's teeny tiny.
Yeah, it's definitely smaller than the Choosing You. I don't even think on the side it says one taste. It's still beautiful.
No, it
matches.
It wouldn't fit.
But it doesn't fit. Yeah, it's so little. But I love that you still made it match everything.
Yeah, when I was talking to the cover designer, she was like, you're not putting the title on the spine.
Not going to happen.
Which is fine. But
it's still beautiful.
I wanted that to sort of wrap in with the rest of the series. So it was written first. It was
That's
the first thing
great.
I wrote in Out of Towner.
The name. Was it random? How did Out of Towner become Out of Towner?
I wanted it to be something slightly ridiculous because I wanted Wyatt to just be annoyed at everything about coming back to his hometown. Like he really felt like he had fallen from grace and like, I even have to go back to this hometown with this stupid name. And I wanted it to reflect like the quirkiness of like literally everyone there is like off their rocker and really odd in some way. And so it would just fit. Plus it's a tourist town.
Yeah.
So I had drafted, you know, brainstormed like a ton of different like weird small town ideas. That one just like, I kept coming back to it. I'm like, I don't know. It's a little out there. It's a little weird. But it was the only one that felt like it fit. And so it stuck in the end.
Did you travel to the coast of Michigan a lot? We do a lot of traveling just for our fun. So I think it's so cool.
My
that
parents have a cottage like right there.
Oh, really?
Nice.
And so it is very near and dear to my heart. Like I always say, Out of Towner is if South Haven, Michigan and Douglas, Michigan had a baby.
Yeah.
you would have Out of Towner. So it's that whole like west coast of Michigan. I absolutely love it. We spend lots of time there. My kids love to be on the lake and the boat, and it's
yeah,
just
we did our honeymoon.
Such a good time.
I got
we
lost on a dune one time when I was in high school. It was awful.
Right. I don't know.
No, they are huge.
We did all of it, made it to the other side and came back. We were a lot cooler on our honeymoon, but that was also a lot of years ago.
Right.
I love that it's there. And I love everything about the name and everything. I don't know. I want to move there. There's not a lot of
I don't have plans to leave. Yeah, I like the West Coast Michigan vibe. Like, I really think I'm going to be staying there in my stories for a while because
it really
just feels like home to me.
It really does.
And I just love it.
It fits like your whole aesthetic and vibe. I know it sounds silly, but it really does match you perfectly.
It feels like me, right?
Yes.
It just feels like home. So
sometimes you might read things and then you find out where it is and you're like, how did we end up? How did we even end up in that state? But it makes perfect sense for everything. And what were you going to say, Britt?
I was just going to say, no, you're fine. The one thing I remember, and people are probably like, this is the one thing you remember. I'm like, yes, it is. after I read One Taste, and I slid into your DMs, and I was like, I love that you made Huck have like a dad bod. Can we have more MMCs like that? Like, I loved it. It was like one little detail that just like warmed my heart.
I went back and forth on that one because obviously, like, there is an expectation of your romance heroes to always be, like, buff and hot and have giant penises and, you know, they're just, like, 0% body fat. And then
you're like,
I was like,
you walked out of
Emma's
machine. A baker.
He's a baker. He's eating sweets all day.
Yep.
I was like, it would be much more realistic, and I think a dad bod is hot.
Yep.
So I was like,
yes,
you know,
absolutely
what?
Absolutely, it is. I love
Let's
doing
do
that.
It.
Seeing that, I think there's only one other book I've ever read where he's a baker, and they mention like he's not like the most chiseled, and that's from Brighton Walsh. He's not a baker.
Okay,
he's
cool.
Like, well, you know what I'm talking about, Britt. But yeah. I really liked seeing that again here too, because they're always chiseled and so hot.
I mean,
and they're like, I ate a whole cake today to try it, but then I did 1,000 push-ups. No, you didn't.
Right.
No, you didn't.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Last thing about the Sullivans, because at the end, once we get your talk about the Kings, we would like to know which side you're on. But are the nicknames personal? Do people, have people said things to you? No. Or do you hear things? Or like, they're so funny, which is why we just want to know. They are hilarious. I love that they all tie in. I love that they cannot give Kate a break. That poor girl and her nickname.
Oh, I know. Poor
so,
catfish Kate.
Was
yeah,
it just a
so,
funny thing you added? I love them.
It was kind of a quirky thing that I just added in. There are a couple of the nicknames that show up that are like people that I know in my real life.
That's so cool.
Like I knew growing up, I knew a Tiny. Like so Miss Tiny, who was like super mean, like I knew her. Although the Tiny that I knew was like lovely. She was great.
Nice. Yeah.
But she was like 4 feet tall. She was tiny. And everyone called her Tiny.
Yeah.
Does she know that she has a book character named after her now?
Unfortunately, probably not. But yeah, so a lot of times the nicknames were random, just kind of like thoughts. And keeping those straight has been a challenge.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. We're looking at you, Mr. Editor. You're awesome. Yes. I bet. I mean, I know it's random, but I feel like one thing that I would always get tripped on for some reason is like eye color. For some reason, that seems always, like something that I would forget constantly. Like, what every are time. Your eyes colored?
I was like, no idea. I literally, when I'm writing, I'll put in a placeholder and just be like eye color.
Yeah, because you're like, we have to make sure they're all the same.
Because I'll be like in flow, you know, and I'll be like really like moving, and I don't want to have to stop and go back and look.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, they're blue or they're brown. I don't know.
It's the first thing I highlight when I'm reading an art is what fucking color eyes and hair do these people have? Now,
that's one of the reasons with my male cover models, I always have the photo first. And so I always base my descriptions off the photo because it makes it easy. I can just look at it and then look at the picture.
Abel? Perfect.
That man, I love him.
He's so good. He's yummy.
I'm glad that we both had him. So,
but yeah, that makes it easier when you can look at the picture and be like, oh, right, they're very dark brown.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you can also be like, how do you think this man would talk to me?
Exactly. Sometimes I'll have like the picture, like I'll have my document open and I'm typing and I'll have the picture like next to it and I'll be like, oh, okay. And
you're hello,
like,
sir.
You're like, oh, I didn't know we were flirting right now.
Yes, daddy.
Okay. The kings have changed my life. And I'll be honest, I have switched alliances. There's no Switzerland here.
I love it.
I love you,
I
Lee.
Still.
I'm like, I love you, Lee, but you...
Sit in the middle of the grudge folder,
what kind of
okay?
drugs? I would like to talk about what kind of drugs you put in this book. The Sullivan series is a 5-star book. Every book, 5-star series, perfect, infinity, and I barely give infinity stars. Everyone yells at me for it, but
so
I'm not going to give them. How is this book infinity stars? Now, then we got another, and then we keep going, and I'm not trying to scare you, but like, what's going on? There's crack in this book. I love William. This man is everything.
I think
everything.
The big thing for me is the big secret is I've always been a king girl. And I knew
I knew you were a king girl. I knew it.
Even when I was writing the Sullivans and like the kings would show up and I was like, oh, God, they're all so hot though.
They are hot. And they're all still so wonderful, but there's something about these king men.
Well, and there's something about, you know, a hero who's like a little bit damaged and who has a little bit of trauma. And you're like, I can fix him. But daddy, I love him.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I think that for me, I always knew I was going to be a king girl. I was so looking forward to writing this series. I love just having them sort of put through it, but finding their way back to what it means to have each other because they haven't really had that. And so, yeah, it's just been a ton of fun. I loved writing this series.
It's incredible because, well, you're writing truly, as I said it, it's always been good. But to be in the same town, but on the other side, and I've never once been comparing, if that makes sense. I'm not like, this should be this, or this should be this. You can totally pick this up. You don't have to read, you know what I mean? You don't have to read it. I know you did on purpose, but I think sometimes as readers, when we've already been in it with authors, we're like, okay, like, is the spinoff really going to be something that you can just dive into, or will it not be? And it is, and it's its own different type of like tint. Like, you know, this is so lame, but you know in Twilight how the first movie's blue and then the second movie's like gold? This has like a new tint on it, even though it's the same thing, but it's perfect.
That's the perfect analogy. Yeah,
I love it.
I may not have watched it, but I could follow along. Then.
What kind of made you want to change the tint, I guess? Like, this is a little bit heavier. You're right. A little bit. Not darker, but just like a little bit in the way
there's
where
that
these
suspense
men,
more so.
They're really in touch with with what's going on in their own head, even if they don't want the whole world to know. Especially when we get to the second with Abel. He knows his struggles and his problems and his demons, but he's still pushing and he's still going and he's still trying. And it's just so good. Please talk. I'm talking too much because I love you.
I'm just thinking about the approach to that was, you know, with the Sullivans, a lot of it was centered on the rivalry and them, and that was fun. And there were some deeper underlying, like, wait a minute, like, how did this get started and why are they even doing this? They don't even seem to know, you know? And then in the King series, you really uncover, like, truly how diabolical their father has been
the
in
worst
creating
man.
This,
Russell
like,
King.
False... Yeah, I was like, hashtag, we hate Russell.
We hate Russell.
I think...
You shared a meme one day and said that that's what you thought he looked like. It was, like, ridiculous. Yeah. And I've never... I laughed so hard. I was like, you're right. He is a little rat king.
No, he's the worst. And I think I knew that when I was writing the kings, I mean, because really every reader, or at least this reader, I always want my hero to grow and change, yes. even mm-hmm. if he's got demons and even if yes. he's got issues. So I knew that they were going to have to come face to face with all of these things that had happened in their past mm-hmm. With a father who put himself and his business above his kids, this mystery about what happened to their mother. Yes. And you know, she left them and he made her out to be the villain. And so they're carrying all of this trauma. And I knew I would have to dig into that a little bit. And so some of the pranks and stuff do become less important than really how do these two families who, because of Duke and Sylvie in one night, are now sort of enmeshed. Mm-hmm. Like, how do they find new footing? How do they find new ground? How do they support each other as these, I mean, they're grown people, yeah. they're like mm-hmm. in their 30s, but how do these kids like come to reconcile with the family that they were brought up in? And so that's been really a fun challenge to yeah. make it still be light and fun, but still exploring some of those like deeper, like how do I grow and heal as like an adult human
yes.
being?
Yes. And I do think you're doing world. Both good. Cause like, especially when we're going down to the basement and why is her driver's license here? You wouldn't yeah. leave without that. It wasn't like it was shocking in a great way, but it wasn't so shocking that we were like, oh, this, we're going down a completely different avenue. It makes sense for the kings. Everything that we right. were getting, yeah. it did make perfect sense for the kings. That wouldn't have made as much sense to me as the reader for the Sullivans, but
right. yeah.
I really like the way you're going.
It was just sad, right? It was yes. sad yes. that their mom had passed from cancer. It was sad that Red had early onset dementia, and yes. it's like they were just sad and trying to like pull themselves together.
But now there's a mystery, and who yeah. Who right. done it? And do
now
we
the
have
kings
eyes
are uncovering,
on...
and they're uncovering in the books in book 3 and even in book 4. You know, they're uncovering that some of the Sullivans and kings are a little more enmeshed than we thought, and there's more that comes to light. And
I love
it's
that.
Just been
so
really
excited.
Fun to unravel and just like.
I'm so
can I tell you
excited.
One of my favorite scenes in Just My Luck was when they all the four guys got together and went in.
Oh, they're hilarious.
Hilarious.
I know.
So good. Just
there's two there it's too good. Stop writing such good books. Yeah. Okay. I just am giving a big preface to everyone. We are going into spoilers. We would like to talk about Royal. We want to know what's going on with book 3 and your thoughts. So if you don't want anything, because it's obviously released today, and if you weren't an ARC reader, we timestamp everything down below, so go ahead and skip because we're going to ask her some questions after the segment and we'll timestamp those. So.
Royal.
Oh, yes. I'm so ready for him.
Royal. Tell us. Like, you had to be quiet about Royal. So when you think Royal King now that he's going to be out in the world, what do you want to say? Well, how did he be? Is he your favorite, like, so far? Well, I know you said JP, but was he leading up? What's going on?
Yeah, Royal has always been so fun to write because he is a little bit of the comic relief, mm-hmm. right? And he's a little bit of a mystery because he's got this really tattooed bad boy kind of exterior, but he's like a giant teddy bear. And so, yeah. And so he was really fun to kind of tease. And then when it came down to writing a full length novel with him as the focus, I really had to dig in as to like, okay, so are the tattoos like his armor? What is he hiding? Why is he the way that he is? Why is he the comic relief? Like, what caused him to need to be that way? I do a lot of character work before I write.
No, that's
and
great.
I just fell in love with him. I mean, I fell in love with his like goofball. Like, him and Lee are like mirrors.
I knew it. I knew they were going, because you have to have one in each
yeah.
set of family.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. I love that he's so tattooed though. Like,
mirror each other. But yeah, he's got some layers and some reasons why he has gone sort of down the life path that he has. And that was really fun. And I really wanted to give him a woman who would challenge him,
mm-hmm. yes.
but who would accept him the way that he is and who would sort of give space for him because he's going to do the same for her. And it was so much fun to write. And it was so hot to write their dynamic.
Oh, well. You think
it was
that
like,
he's the spiciest so far?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah. yeah.
Mm.
I think
more
so, too.
More than like,
yeah.
I mean,
so
they're all spicy,
about
but
that.
I do think, too, that Lee and Annie
yeah,
were very spicy
Lee,
because they're voyeur, because they were so public. Like, if we, right, if it happens in the barrel room, it happens.
Yeah.
So yeah. it's fun to see kind
to,
of
like,
that it'll be Royal, too. I love it.
I do. And I do love
maybe
to
it's
torture
the playful.
Abel that, like, everybody's having sex in his brewery. And it
oh,
just,
my gosh.
Not.
Why is it so funny? Like,
But
can you tell us about our
royal?
Oh no, go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry.
For Royal, it is just kind of interesting because there's this like secret side to him and the secret that he's had and how that kind of plays out is really fun. But
you
yeah,
can tell
I do
us
think
if
it
you
is
want.
Spicier.
I mean, you're allowed to tell us if you want.
Well, the
I
man has multiple secrets, right?
Yeah.
He does. He has two big ones. He has two big secrets, but they actually relate to each other. So the one secret, which actually came up, and it's been since one look, is like, what is the deal he made with
Mark? We've been waiting.
Yeah, so that comes to light. So it comes to light that it was actually supposed to be a prank that he was going to play on Lee. There's this adult content app called Pulse, and it's kind of like an OnlyFans, but you can request a cuddle partner, like an in-person cuddle partner. And he needed to be verified for this site, so he asked Lark, or made her, like essentially that was their deal, pretend like you're an actress, pretend to be an ex-girlfriend, vouch for me so I can get on this app. And his intention was to send all of this like cuddle spam to Lee as a prank. But what ends up happening is Lark doesn't know that it's a prank or it has anything to do with Lee. So this entire time she thinks that like Royal is this like sad motherless man who's looking for a cuddle partner. That's why she's always like, oh, Royal, oh, it's just so sad.
They're like, you guys have to be gentle to Royal.
She is always defending him because she thinks that he's like motherless and sad. And he needs a cuddle buddy because she believed it, right? But then what ends up happening is it leads into his big secret, which is the fact that once he was on this app and like, you know, was kind of deep diving into it, he started creating content and it was for himself. And so he's essentially like a, you know, smutty content creator, like on an OnlyFans type platform. And
so here for
does
this.
Adult
so
content, much. Which is why he's got the ring light. It's why he's super like shuts them down when they start asking about it. He changes the subject.
Why
and
so he has so this perfect?
Like, he has this like alternate persona where he doesn't show his face.
I say, does he wear a mask? Or?
It's from the neck down. Okay. He doesn't show his face, but he like,
has
you know,
tattoos.
Has, he has tattoos, which comes to bite him in the ass.
I was going to say, they're distinct tattoos.
They are very
What's
distinct.
What's his online persona name?
So he's Mr. Right Now.
Mr. Right Now! Oh my gosh. Okay.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun. And so he ends up meeting, I don't know how many spoilers you want, but he
no,
ends
all
up
of them. Whatever you
having
want to tell
this
us.
Conversation, you know, basically this woman starts trolling him in the comments, like giving him shit, and he's very intrigued and he starts messaging her and they have an online sort of budding friendship where she essentially just makes fun of him the whole time and he is here for it. He loves it. And then lo and behold, they end up she ends up in his town and realizes because she recognizes
tattoos.
His tattoos, she realizes who it is and she freaks out. And
does she keep it quiet for a little bit? Like, is she like
honestly,
internalizing with herself or does it come out rather quickly?
It comes out rather quickly. Like, so the, it's not that like the whole book, they're like, they don't know. It's not that like they find out within like a chapter or two.
Oh, that's great.
But then they decide we'll keep like no miscommunication here, let's be real. But
me, I'm like,
decide,
I will have you up always for
they decide like, let's explore this dynamic, but we're not gonna tell anybody.
Yeah.
Because he essentially propositions her because she's very uptight, she's a black cat, she's very like straight laced, and he's like, I can teach you how to let go.
Yeah. Is he a little bit of like a pleasure dom then with her?
He is. He's a pleasure dom. Yeah. He's sort of like a soft dom.
Yeah.
But there is some like delayed gratification. There's some orgasm refusal.
That's
there's
awesome.
Some of that.
That seems
I love
like,
it.
That's, I like that you're giving us truly all the layers of him because I do want a little bit of that with him. But then I want all the praise and stuff too. Like, I like that you can give us both sides of him.
Yeah, and he's really exploring sort of that side of himself, right? And he's exploring, like, why does this sort of public-facing persona feel so validating for me? Why do I feel like I need that? And meanwhile, he's helping her sort of loosen the reins a little bit and learn, well, if I lose control a little bit, sometimes that can be
fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about her? Why did she come into town? What brought her to Out of Towner? What's she doing?
Things with Russell are starting to hit the fan, right? We found that out. Then, so she is a business associate of JP, And she essentially, he calls her to bring her in to sort of like clean up the mess. Like he's like,
she's a fix
you're
it.
A shark, you can go get it. I need you to help me fix this because like I can't do this on my own. And she's kind of coming in a little bit skeptical, thinking like, okay, is he trying to undermine his dad? Like what's, like she's trying to figure out what that dynamic is.
Because, is she loyal to Russell or is she... know that he's like not a good person.
She's loyal to JP, okay. But she's a little leery. Like she's trying to figure out, why am I even here?
Yeah.
And you know, whether or not this is going to be something that she can fix or whether or not it's something she's just going to have to cut and run because there's no fixing it. But she's a bulldog. So she's tenacious and she's like ready to dig in and try to fix things for the Kings. So her and JP have a lot of fun scenes together with them both being kind of...
Are we going to get to see him like quite a
little bit more? Oh, you see him a ton in book three. Yeah, you see him a lot in book three because Veda works with him. And so...
So
you get to kind of see his like gruff and like grumpy kind of straight-laced exterior. But then he also has some very...
Oh, I know that man is... 50 Shades of Grey. That's awesome. How are the ladies? How are the ladies getting along with her?
Is amazing, one
side,
right?
Is one side still wearier? Like, are the Kings wearier?
No, I mean, they're a little bit like, you know, she's a little bristly.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things, too, that I thought was really important between her dynamic with Royal is that I didn't want him to want to change that about her.
Yeah.
I didn't want it to be like, oh, she's kind of bristly and he makes her come out of her shell and suddenly she's this like sunshiny person. Like, she's kind of a bitch and he kind of loves it.
Right.
And so I loved that for her. We get to see the bluebirds and we get to see Jay specifically like be really open and just loving and accept her for who she is. And really kind of giving Ada the experience of sisters that she's never had. Mm-hmm. So that's been really fun to see. To write that was really cool because, you know, they're a little bit leery of their own brother, JP.
And right.
So they're kind of like, okay, well, who is this girl that he's brought
the worst
in?
Rap, I tell you.
But they get to start to see she is trying to help them and you know, they start to see a softer side of her that Royal helps bring out and it's really fun. I love it. It's been so good.
Do you have off the top of your head, I know you
How's Bug?
Yeah, how is Bug?
Oh, Bug. I love Bug. So Bug kind of goes through it in book three.
Oh, I do too.
She, her and Russell have pretty wrenching scene together.
Okay.
Where there's a lot that happens. There's a little bit of like a trigger warning. There's, he kind of snaps on her a bit.
Oh, wow.
And does things to her that she never thought was possible. Because she's always been kind of the, I'm staying to protect the kids. I will take all the hits so that he leaves them alone kind of thing. Which wasn't very successful, but that's what she tried. She tried to do that.
Yeah.
And he loses it on her. And just to see the King siblings rally behind the woman who essentially raised them is like, it gave me goosebumps. Like, I just loved it. And they show up for her. You know, and she is bristly too. And I think that her and Veda kind of become kindred.
I was
going to
say they're probably a good pair together.
They mirror each other a little bit in that way where, you know, she kind of sees how beloved Bug is, even if she's not warm and fuzzy like Tootie.
Exactly.
And so I have, Bug has a special place in my heart because I am a bit of a black cat a little bit. And so it's fun to see the black cat have good moments where they're just loved for always being the happiest person in the room.
I would classify myself a little bit as one too, maybe an emotional black cat. We got to add that one for me.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm so excited. And I really do, even though it's like he's the fucking worst, I love the way you're writing Russell's downfall. I love seeing him, his crack, he split it.
Yeah.
He was the most professional, incredible. Yeah. Like he could not be touched. He was a god in the Sullivans.
Everyone loved him and he had fooled everyone.
Yeah. Yes, and to see this god of a man in town come when he's not a Sullivan, because everyone, I feel like in my head, kind of favors them more than others. So to now truly see just the downfall of how psycho he is and his cracks are showing and he can't keep
He starts to unravel pretty hard in book three and it's
glorious. That's so great because I'm enjoying it. Like I really am liking this. Like he's losing it. It makes you feel like you're losing it when you're reading. Like you're like, whoa. Or like, did I miss any of the signs before to get to this point?
And there are definitely things that were uncovered even in previous books. like, yeah. again, little Easter eggs that you're like, oh, how that connects to.
Will we go back to the cellar?
What was happening?
Are we going? Bit. Okay. I was wondering if that was going to be.
Yeah, there are some things that were found in the speakeasy. I think what you're talking about.
Yeah, like sorry, speakeasy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're good. So there were some things that were found in the speakeasy that are related to some of the deeds and wrongdoings that Russell has done throughout his entire life.
Because we like, saw the picture with that her in the middle, and then we saw the like alcohol bottle. That had King's label on it.
Yeah, a lot of that came out as like how they actually used to be really close families. And then after Prohibition kind of split into like wanting to leave the bootlegging business and not. Then it gets revealed that the feud is reignited because Russell had a thing for June Sullivan.
Right.
And was rebuffed when she picked Red. So he just like added gasoline to that fire.
Yep.
And I love to see in book three, June Sullivan actually plays a big role in his downfall and some of the things that happened to him. Yeah.
No, so like, love that. That's so great to have such an impact to even.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh,
yeah,
I'm so
it's
excited.
Pretty cool.
This is so exciting. Okay. Is there anything else you need to tell us or anyone, anything about Royal? I know we do want to leave stuff for them and what to find, but is there like this moment that's your absolute favorite that you're like, this was it. Like, I knew. Or a scene, like, yeah, a scene or a moment, a line.
There's so many moments for him. I will say, like, there is one of my favorite, it's like not so much a sexy scene, but an emotionally vulnerable scene where he sort of falls apart. And it's just so heartbreaking and beautiful. Like, it was hard to write.
Sometimes
when you're writing these characters, you forget that they're fake. And you're
they're real.
I don't want to break him in that way. You know, I don't want his heart to break. And then you just know you have to do it because he'll be better on the other side of it. There was a couple of moments like that with him that I was just like, I'm sorry. And I'm like typing it. them together, their dynamic, see her give up a lot of that control for him. There's like a scene where he gives her a very special piece of jewelry to wear around her neck.
We love a collar.
And very discreet, very, and
it's
very
tasteful.
Tasteful between the two of them. But it is like that scene is so tense and so hot that it was two of them together. I couldn't imagine like being more perfect for one another that I can't wait for people to get their hands on it. It's so fun.
I am so excited. And now I'm going, I just need a little bit. I saved it for the end. Please tell us about what you just said the end to today. I don't want to get you in trouble.
I
know that you have probably rules and all of that. And if we need to, you say something and you need me to take it out, there's no problem.
I am the keeper of the rules. So it's actually fine. No,
are we allowed to know like
JP's story?
Yeah. Like what can we know? I'm like, please give us any and everything.
So I can tell you this because there is a scene at the very end of Just Between Us that teases his story.
Okay.
So at the very end of Just Between Us, like they're kind of like debriefing, like, you know, kind of having that big exhale of what the hell just happened. JP gets a phone call from Whip and he's like, Royal's like watching him like have this meltdown and he only hears one side of the conversation, obviously. Essentially, JP gets a phone call from Whip and there's a 7-year-old child who tried to crawl into the abandoned baby box at the firehouse because he's looking for his dad. And JP's like, of course that's not my kid. That's fucking stupid. Like I've never, you know, I'll be right there. And that's kind of how that scene ends. Like he's going to go to the fire station and like basically yell at this idiot child and that he's not his kid.
Brittany's having a heart attack right now. She literally just wrote a whole book for, like, she nailed it. I don't know what more. I'm losing my fucking mind right now. I am straight up fangirling. What do you actually mean?
So his tropes are going to be kind of like,
secret child.
I mean, kind of like accidental single dad's like secret child, but like almost like guardians, instant family, enemies to lovers.
Gosh. I don't know how to process any of this right now. I'm literally freaking the fuck out.
Yeah, it's a bit of an age gap. He's kind of like the villain with the heart of gold, right? So like
tell me about her.
So she is the sister of this child's mother. So so she's the aunt.
Okay.
So the mom has passed.
Yeah.
And this kid is I need to find his dad. Like, I'm going to go find my dad. And off mm-hmm. they set, his aunt. And she's essentially like, look, all I need you to do is sign over your parental rights. I'm going to raise mm-hmm. him. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Right.
And he's like,
he doesn't like that idea, does he?
Well, he's ready to do it, right? Like, he's like, yeah, this is crazy. And the judge is like, yeah, no, you can't really do that without a paternity test. And before you do that, you know.
There's some other things that need to get.
You're stuck with each other until that gets worked out or whatever. And this kid is like full on, like, ready to be like, hey, dad, you know. So what I love about that book is, you know, he is completely ill-prepared to be in any way, any kind of father. And so to watch him sort of flounder in this dad role was so much fun to write.
So that's coming. My freaking mind.
That's amazing.
That's not until January.
I was going to say, how long do we have to wait for that?
I'm okay. It's fine.
Yeah, it'll be a January, like late January release. So
that's incredible. What? Tell me, if you said it earlier, I do apologize, but I'm literally so excited right now. So what was the moment where you were like, can you tell, if you can't tell specifics, but you said that there was a moment after all my bullying that you were like, hey, this actually can be a book. So what?
I was literally in the shower and I was like, I don't think I can do it. I can't do it justice. Like, you know, I've written him too bad. Like, he's just like always doing what Russell wants, always doing his bidding.
I love these are my favorite men, that alpha whole men who need to grovel. That's why as soon as you said he was that on page one of whatever book, I was like, oh shit.
You're like, we're ready for him. Yeah, and for me, the moment in the shower was just like, oh my God, there's going to be this kid that shows up, like, is, you know, swearing up and down that you're my dad and let's go, dad. Like, let's do this thing. And he would be floundering and trying to be efficient. Also do, like, he wants to get it right. And so he has like this soft spot for this kid that he doesn't like that he has. Mm-hmm. And so
it's a vulnerability to him and he needs to be
very much
the badass guy.
And he feels bad for this kid, right? So kid lost his mom. JP knows exactly what that feels like to lose his mother. Mm-hmm. And so he kind of doesn't want to just like throw this kid out like with the street trash, right? So
How does he feel about this like lady though? What is there anything you can...
He's annoyed because he's kind of like... He looks at her as incompetent and he looks at her as like, you know, because
even though he's never raised a kid a day in his life.
Yeah, exactly. You know, because he knows everything. And
right.
You know,
he's a man. Yeah. A businessman.
And, you know, he looks at it because so essentially the little boy's name is Teddy and he kind of runs off and finds the fire station. And so she loses him. Right. And so she's been in the town and she can't find him. And so he's like, you lost the kid. Like, how are you a caretaker? You lost the
kid. Have they been in the town the whole time?
No. Okay. So she...
I was a little scared for just a second. I won't lie. I know you said they were finding him, but I wasn't sure if they had settled for
a while. Yeah, like they set out to look for him.
Okay,
The sister gave all of the tea, all of the information, and before she passed, because her death wasn't like sudden, she was ill.
Yeah.
And so it was sort of her last wishes of like, at least let him meet his dad and then, you know, you can raise him or whatever. And trouble ensues for sure.
Can you give us one micro trope or a nickname if you can? Those are our two favorite things.
Okay, a micro trope.
It doesn't have to be both. It can be one or the other. Or nothing. Yeah. You can also say, Libby, shut up.
No, I give us all the tea.
I just am like, I will push. I'm a pusher, Katie. I push.
I mean, micro tropes being like, okay, everybody loves like a rich guy who takes care of you. So there's that.
Yes. Yeah.
Obviously. Like she's a sick moment, or is this more of like a, I have the money, so let me.
Like, I have the money, so like, let daddy take care of it.
Yes, daddy. Yes, daddy.
Which we love. I'm trying to think of like other.
No, that's there's okay. just. I know. I put you on the spot. I didn't write that down as one of the questions.
No, that's okay. I'm like, ooh, I don't want to give away too much because there's so much about them
you
and
keep
their
what
dynamic
you need.
That is really fun.
I'm excited.
You're going to love it. I didn't actually think I liked this man. And it was so fun to write because he's so nuanced and complicated in so many ways. Some of the decisions that he's made in like previous books that makes sense now why he's
I
done
am
what
his
he's
biggest
done.
Defender.
He I know, I
had
love
a
that.
Reason. Everyone makes mistakes. Brittany.
Sounds like Kale.
Essentially, no. He was just surviving.
JP would never. Yes, he was trying to survive and keep his family going, still try to be a dad figure, even though he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing before there was even a child involved. Yeah. He has siblings. I love him. I'm so sorry for this next release. I mean, I tag you every day, and I'm always talking to you.
I love it. No, I love man. Tags. I love the unhinged DMs where people like oh my God, just my send voice me screenshots. Yes. Voice notes. I live for it. It's so much fun because it's like these characters have lived in my head for months, if not longer than that. Yeah. Right? I've been in out of towner for like ever now.
Yes.
And so it's fun to see like, oh yeah, that was the reaction I was hoping to get, or that landed in the way that I wanted to. Oh, like I thought that scene was so yummy and people liked it too. That's just very fun for me. So I don't ever consider
good,
it like
because
a nuisance.
Once,
I'm very
now that
grateful.
I know that book four is coming, or you will. You'll have to send the like. You have to just one day not tag me about JP, and I'm gonna be like, no, I. What do you mean? I will just say it. This is my post. I bullied an author, and I feel cool.
Oh, okay. That's okay. And honestly. I'm so glad that you did, though, because it really was fun. And he's one of my favorite, I mean, characters.
So it's just so cool.
I love that so much.
I hope amazing. You know, and I know you do know, because we are very similar, but it was all always in love. I say bullying, but it was always in love. It was just because you truly could write one-liners about a character. And how much does that say about how good of a writer you are that I'm hooked?
Yeah.
I've never looked away from those one-liners that they were just throwaways. I'm like, oh, she's going to... We're going to get something epic.
Yeah,
and
it has been fun.
I could cry. I'm really excited.
Yeah, some people have some pretty wild theories about some things that
happened.
I've
honestly tried to keep him open.
it's very interesting. But I will say, you know, like threads really start to unravel for the family in book three.
I'm really
in book
excited.
Four, it's like a hot mess.
Yeah. Well, I figured it would have to because
sort
of who
be like
is.
Them picking up the pieces, right? Like, what does it look like now?
How are we going to live now as this double family unit?
Yeah. Yeah.
And how cool that you're ending really both series with king daughters. Like, I don't know. That's just...
I do love a good king daughter. Yeah. Yeah. They're just...
Love them.
Love the girls.
I know everyone's excited about MJ, but you literally just said the end today, so people will have to tune in because I'm going to make you come back more
times. I would
love
to. Anytime. Yeah, I would love to come back. So I'll start MJ's book in a couple of weeks probably. I'll
yes,
my brain
take
a
your time,
rest,
obviously.
And then...
Let JP live and exist and just give yourself the praise. You're awesome. You do so much
so
and you're
sweet.
So great. We will force you back on though to keep talking. Really. Once we get to JP, I'm gonna have more questions, obviously, and then everything for MJ. I know you might know or you might not. Do you think this one will also have a novella? Or do you think you'll be able to fully wrap it up with
book
five?
It'll be wrapped. I think it'll be good with book five. And then we'll have to just see like where we go from here.
Yes. I had that on here, but do you have any inkling? You said you were going to stay in small town. You like to stay in Michigan.
Yeah,
will there be a cross? You know,
oh.
I'm so excited. I know you can't say anything, but I love you so much. I'm just like, yes, she's not going to.
As long as she has
the
plan and she knows, that's all that matters.
I'm so excited. Yeah, even if you said it's not coming for 6 years, I'd be like, I'm here to hype you up every day for 6 years.
No, there's definitely a plan. And, you know, all of my books like tie in a tiny, teeny, tiny,
That's what I was
going
to say. So where is this one line that I should go back and reread so I know what series is coming?
That's a tough question because...
It hasn't come out yet.
In book three, it's in Just Between Us.
Oh, yeah. Now we know what to really look for.
I couldn't remember if I
dropped
it into book three or if I just wrote it, but
just
it's book three.
Okay,
no, it's in book three.
Everyone knows because this will be in the end since it's not a spoiler. Yeah, so if you're reading, going through and reading now, we should be all looking with our eagle eyes of where we're
going
leaving.
Next.
Don't get too excited because I want to stay in Out of Towner forever, but I am excited.
Somebody was asking me about like a next gen series.
Mm-hmm.
And I was
like their kids?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, don't get me started. Don't give me any ideas.
That's a
Oh, Gus. Come on. We already got Gus.
Right?
Oh,
Gus. And, oh, God.
Oh, my God. And
you
know what I'm. You know what I'm going to say? Can we just imagine a bunch of little JPs running around because he'll have the most kids because he's going to be like, I fell so hard that I had to have a whole football team.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely open to that. I thought I would be really done with the town after 9 books, but I'm feeling sad, right?
I'm sad. I know we still have more, and I mean,
right.
I can only imagine how attached clearly you are, because I'm attached. We are all attached to these characters, and so I'm like, if you wanted to stay there forever and just keep going with Jens, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I mean, we'll love see. It. I think there'll be a break in between, for sure, a new little town, but I would never be opposed to returning to out-of-towner, because it feels like home for me.
Yes, and it is home. And I know you have other series and they're wonderful, but I don't think you can think of Lena Hendricks and not think of out-of-towner Michigan.
No, I mean, I love that. Thank you.
You're iconic. It is iconic. It has taken, like, literally the romance world by storm. And I think it's so well-deserved. Every time I see it or someone's just starting it, you deserved it, all of it.
Speaking of out-of-towner, can we go, we're going way over our time limit here, Lena.
No, but, I know.
How did the Bluebirds come about?
Yeah, can we end on, before I wrap up?
I love it so much. Yes.
We would really like to be honorary members if you're allowed to do that.
Done. Yes. So okay. You're in.
Thank you.
You are in. So when I had first came up with the idea of this, like, okay, there's going to be this small town, it's rival families and all that. And I was like, okay, but it's going to be the boys who are kind of just idiots and who are pranking each other. And the women of the town are going to be the voice of reason. So I'm like, they need something where they can kind of covertly come together and either gossip or solve the problems or do whatever without the men being there. And I'm like, okay, so it's going to be, and I love books. And I always thought the idea of a book club where you like don't actually read books would be really fun.
Yeah, you get to have the community of people who genuinely think the same as you. Ugh,
so my favorite part is like the moments when people ask them what book they're reading and everyone has a different answer. Like, that to me is always so funny.
Oh, yes!
Or when they have to try to figure out like, wait, what are we telling Lee we read today? You know, because they're really just like hanging out and being girls. And I love that. I would love for the Bluebirds to be real in real life and people to like meet and hang out on a weekly basis and just care for each other. So yeah, it kind of came from my own desire to have
I love that so much when I was first reading it.
I know we're going to wrap up, but when I was first reading it, I don't think in my brain I really knew how we were going to get any of the same side without the feuding. So for it to be this, like, not weird, but just like this little secret society of, we're a book club, but in my weird brain, because I always have to like put things together, it's like these men are out here doing the hunting, which is pranks, and these women are out here gathering, but it's gossiping with this information in book club, and I love it. They're like, well, we handle it with pranks, and they're like, well, we handle it with community. Like, we get together, we lift you up, we make sure women, we have jobs, we make sure everyone's taken care of. I'm just like, I love how different they're all playing. I would join any day of the week.
I would too.
Go ahead and wrap us all up here.
Lord, hold on. I'm not prepared.
I love you guys so much.
We love you. We really hope you come back.
Yes, we do.
It's okay. I told you we're a little chaotic, but we just love you.
I'm here for it.
We're just, hot mess expresses over here.
I'm 100% fangirling. You're like this is like a Taylor Swift moment. I'm like, oh my God. I'm literally losing it.
All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. And you can find Lena's website, Facebook groups, Amazon, and all her other socials linked down below.
Thank you guys so much again. Thank you, Lena. Yes, you are truly wonderful. Royal is out today everywhere.
Yes.
And you guys need to go read this tattooed cinnamon roll. So until next time, I am your host, the Smut Daddy, a.k.a. Father Lib.
And I'm your co-host, Sister Britt.
And we will see you guys next time. Peace and blessings.
Bye.
Bye.